In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
I'm muted. Can you hear me now? Am I good? I guess I had my mic muted. I just started the whole show completely on mute. Amateur hour, did a whole ad read, everything. It was a pretty electric intro, not going to lie. But the main question, I'm going to hit the questions that I feel like I've been asked most of the time right off the bat, and then we're going to dive into the chat. I want to spend a ton of time in the chat because last night things kind of got out of hand and the chat filled up and I didn't get to all the questions. So I want to spend most of the time there. The biggest question is, the class going to fall apart? That seems to be the main fear of everyone. Is everybody going to decommit? Are we going to be Florida from last year? And I think it's a fair question to ask. And I honestly think the answer at this moment is no. But if things were to keep going in the direction that they're going, if this trend doesn't change, you could see some defections. You could see some guys that you have a lot of momentum for start to wane. We're not there yet, though. If you remember, Auburn flipped two guys from that class, that Florida class, and they were both later in the season. Florida was losing early, but it wasn't until later in the season that you flipped Amaris Williams. He was actually at almost daggum signing day flip. And you flip Jamonta Waller. It took multiple weeks into the season before that happened. So no, I do not think that at this point in time, there is an issue as far as Auburn losing their class. I don't think there was anybody there that saw what they saw and they're going to decommit like tomorrow. Now, it's not impossible, but I don't think there, at least from the intel that I've been able to gather over the weekend, I don't see like Auburn on the verge of a collapse as far as their class go. Now, one thing this does do, and I mentioned this the other night, one thing this does do is it makes your class a lot more expensive. Okay. This makes your recruiting class a lot more expensive. You lost a ton of leverage on Saturday. From an NIL perspective, you lost a ton of leverage. Now recruits can go and say, well, hey, looks like you need me a lot more. It looks like you need me a lot more than you did prior. I think, you know, maybe my price tag just went up a little bit. If you don't think those conversations aren't going to happen in today's day and age, you're crazy. It's definitely going to happen. Now, Auburn can do themselves a lot of favors by righting some wrongs. And again, we've talked about a lot of what those were. We're going to talk about all those things during the week. Tonight, we're going to focus solely on recruiting. But yeah, I think the class in general should stay together for now. I don't see a lot of defections happening at this moment. But some things definitely have to change, or you're going to have some issues. So, as far as the main question, is our class falling apart? Are we becoming Florida? Or is this Billy Napier 2.0? We're not there yet. But things do have to change, because it's not all out of the realm of possibility to be something like that that could happen. So at this point in time, I think we're fine. But, you know, again, things got to change. What's the latest on Deuce Knight is another question that I've heard. Did Saturday ruin our chances with Deuce Knight? So I'm going to back it up to last weekend. Okay. Deuce came in. He made it very clear to some national media that he was not going to commit. He didn't want things to be a distraction before his rivalry game, which was this past Friday, that they had they blew that team out. And, you know, Deuce had a great game. Didn't want that to be a distraction. He was not going to commit last weekend, but he had full expectations of committing on Saturday. Okay, so all week, that's what he told Hugh. That's what he told. He sold everybody on the fact, hey, let's chill. I don't want to commit this weekend, but don't worry, I'm going to pull the trigger next weekend. It's going to be good. It's going to be, you know, good to go. So much so that Friday morning, there was a scheduled interview for his commitment. There was a interview commitment. I'm not going to mention who the reporter was. I'm not going to mention the publication. There was a scheduled interview to have to go over. I mean, I guess interview him. That would be the flip announcement. Okay. There was something scheduled Friday morning for that, and Deuce canceled it, pushed it back, said that he wasn't 100% sure yet. And turns out, I think the night prior, Marcus Freeman or whoever, the head coach at Notre Dame, his name escapes me at the moment, had a very long conversation. They've stayed in contact and sold him on the fact that, hey, you know, Auburn cut off ties with you last year. Auburn cut off communication with you last year, and we didn't. You know, when they thought they were going to get Juju, they thought they were going to get this, your phone never lit up with Auburn. Like, it was us this whole time. So there's something to be said for the loyalty that we've invested in you, stuff along those lines, and it made an impact on Deuce. He's having a really hard time with this, okay? So he canceled that interview, and then there was still a ton of confidence on the Auburn side. If you're on the barn, auburn.com, you already know a lot of this. There was still a ton of confidence on the Auburn side, and I think a lot of that is maybe his family wanting him to end up being at Auburn, saying the things that they think he may commit. But Deuce, and I mentioned this, and I was one of the only people I feel like out there that was saying this, is I was very consistent. They may be confident, but Deuce is saying otherwise to some national media. Okay, Deuce is saying otherwise. He has no intentions of doing it this weekend. He's still not ready. Okay, so that's the story of how this past week played out. Now, you're getting play-by-play. Okay, this is basically play-by-play. If you want to hold people to predictions, this is an impossible business to do that in. Okay, I'm going to give you the best up-to-date information that I possibly can doing the daily podcast. But hey, things change. There was 100% Deuce was going to flip this past weekend, all the way up, maybe even through maybe middle of the week, until that conversation with the Notre Dame's head coach. There was a flip interview scheduled to happen on Friday, and it didn't happen. It didn't happen. Deuce canceled it, and then he basically said, I'm still not ready. I'm still not ready to commit. So did Auburn blow it with him this weekend? Well, it's really hard to say that Auburn blew it with him, because you look at the team he's committed to, and they probably had an arguably worse loss, okay? And recruits in general view things different than we do. They don't view losses like we do, okay? We're fans. We see a loss. We think sky is falling. It's game over. Shut the season down, play the backups, work for the future. That's what we see, okay? Everything's falling apart. That's kind of how we view things. Recruits view things different, especially guys like Deuce, who's very confident in what type of player he is. He may see the game and see throws that Thorne missed, or throws that, either he missed or he didn't throw, and say, man, if I'm in there, that's a touchdown. Or when Thorne breaks the pocket and is making a run for a first down and maybe gets tackled short or something like that, Deuce looks at that and says, man, if I got this kind of space, I'm going to light this thing up. And hey, they're so unconfident in the guys behind Thorne. Clearly it's a wide open job. I mean, that's the kind of mindset that guys like Deuce have. Okay. That's the kind of mindset that these recruits have. If you go look at a lot of what the recruits said, yeah, a lot of them were, as far as asking about the actual game, a little bit shocked about the outcome, but most of it's talking about how great the atmosphere was. Most of it's talking about how I see myself, I can come in and compete, or I see the opportunity to play. And then obviously you got the NIL aspect of it too, where I feel like Auburn's very competitive as well. So they don't really see things like we see it. So no, I don't think Deuce was never committing this weekend. Okay. I mean, after Thursday night, Deuce was not committing this weekend. Okay. So what happened Saturday had nothing to do with him not committing. He spent the night, his whole family spent the night. They stayed here till today. And he left, and I assume he's probably going to be back again unless he just shuts his recruitment down. It's not a super far drive. I do think if I was close to 100% confident that this flip would happen, I'm probably a lot lower now. I still think Auburn is the odds-on favorite to flip him, but I think you got a little bit you're going to have to either be patient or you're going to have to do something outrageous to be able to sway him to want to be able to, pull the trigger. I talked about this with Taylor Korn. I said, she asked me, why do you think this is happening? I said, hey, have you ever broken up with somebody? Have you ever broken somebody's heart? Was it tough? Is it tough breaking up with somebody? Is it tough breaking somebody's heart? And we talked about it, and yes, it's tough. So that's kind of, and especially when you're 17, 18 years old, he's having a really hard time with this. I mean, you're talking about somebody he's been committed to almost for a very, very long time, and somebody that's been loyal to him. And I mean, Hugh honestly had to do a big apology. I'm sorry that we cut ties with you. I'm sorry that there was lack of communication. I mean, they worked through that part of it, but it wasn't like I just pick up the phone and call you and we're good. No, there was a lot of work to repair that line of communication that was broken. So as far as the latest on Deuce, I still feel like Auburn's a favorite. I'm bumping down the confidence a good bit, and I'm going to remain not nearly as confident as I've been until I see something change. And I still think I don't know where else Auburn goes. They don't have a lot of leverage in this situation. It's not like you can say commit now or it's we're moving on. Hey, babe, there's nowhere else to move on. There's nowhere else to go. Okay, so you're kind of dug in now. You've had some bad luck. You've made a couple, in my opinion, you hitched your wagon to a loose cannon in Juju Lewis and his father. And it bit you, and now you're in a bind. So you kind of don't have a lot of options. If you've gone this far, dig in, sink in, and just win. Just win, even if you have to take it deeper. He's still acting like a commit. People are still treating him like a commit already. So, that makes you feel good in and of itself, but we'll see what happens. But I don't think anything changed this weekend. This weekend didn't do anything to hurt Auburn. He was not committing this weekend regardless. So the loss had nothing to do with it. Last two guys, people asking about Chroma, Usman Chroma and Elijah Melendez. Usman Chroma visited Georgia this weekend. Georgia's always going to be an X factor in this thing. They have two backs committed, but they are definitely keeping him warm. They're definitely keeping him warm. I think Auburn still leads. I think this weekend, him not coming out and I guess Georgia not pushing and getting him to go ahead and commit this weekend was big. Him going on a visit and coming out uncommitted was big. He says he wants to have it done by the end of this month, possibly early October, which is kind of what we talked about a couple of shows ago. I guess last week that, we're looking in that 2 to 3 week period. I think it's something to definitely keep an eye on, but I think Auburn sits really well. And I don't think this weekend really affected him at all. Elijah Melendez, same thing. I wouldn't be shocked if he pulls the trigger this coming up weekend and flips, or he's already decommitted, goes ahead and commits to Auburn this coming up weekend. Those are still two big-time recruits that you're right there in the thick of it. And, again, that's what I'm saying. I don't think this weekend had a ton to do really with anything to go with this class and building it and adding to it. So we'll see what happens, but that's kind of how I feel as far as the recruiting went over the weekend, and we will jump into the chat right away. Our boy Thomas Jones with the super chat. Thanks, bud. He's always been watching the show, always been a huge support. We've been texting him today. Just big fan of that guy. So thank you, Thomas, for the support. And then let's go up. I know, understand that I was muted for a long time. So so that's embarrassing. But no, we got it. We got it good. We got it going right now. This is funny. That's how Peyton felt in the pocket, talking about the audio being messed up or, just going on and on and not realizing you're muted. So that's a good one. So 10 points to you, Alex Drake Brooks, YouTube. Let's see. Thorne must be Chris Nicholas. Thorne must be involved in the audio. Yeah, it's that's pretty funny. Can't beat that one. Let's see. This is your voice without great 5-hour energy. Another great one. The memes that come out of this thing are incredible, and the 5-hour energy, the great 5-hour energy, has been really, really good. So, all right, we're done with, I've caught up with people as far as talking about the no audio. So let's see if we can dive in. Again, I want to try to stick to recruiting. There's a lot of I still see a lot of stuff about Peyton Thorne and Hank Brown, and I get it, but we're going to hang on recruiting if we can. And if that's the questions that we're asking, I mean, we'll go back to them and talk about it. So let's see. Keep it on going. It's literally all about Peyton Thorne stuff. And I totally get it. Let's see. Let's see. Man, I can't find one. Y'all are definitely hooked. Here we go. Chris Nicholas, did all of Deuce's family come to the game yesterday? Yes, sir. All of them did. They requested extra tickets. They brought a big group with them over the weekend. His family says it's pretty clear they want him to be at Auburn. It's hard to look at the way they behave and think that they want anything other than their child to come to Auburn. They're just not going to force it. He actually has a very, very solid family, very, very very, very firm foundation. They're not drama. They're not like a lot of the, family that we've talked about in the past. They are 100%, locked in on Auburn, I believe. They're just not going to force Deuce to make a decision sort of against his will. So they did all come. Yes, absolutely. Let's see. Keep going. Again, it's mostly all Daniel Denny, is Deuce a dual threat? He's the dual threat. Okay. He's as elite of a runner as he is a passer. He's a very, very elite runner at the quarterback position. I think he had a couple of rushing touchdowns as well as passing touchdowns the other night. He didn't have to run a ton because he was throwing it all over the place, but I think he's a sub 4.5 guy at 6'4", 200, just glides. Big time dual threat guy but he doesn't have to be. Like, he doesn't have to be because he's got such a big arm and he's worked so much on his arm talent. I think he's going to be I think he can be an incredible college quarterback. He's definitely got all of the tools. So let's keep going. This is a good one. Opera game. What's the plan assuming Deuce doesn't flip? At this point in time, I don't know that there is a plan. I don't know that there can be a plan. I'm sure you can circle back and take another shot at KJ Lacy, who's having a phenomenal start to the year. Maybe you can go spin the tires with Juju again. Again, I don't think Juju's locked in anywhere. They're going to, do what they got to do to put Juju in the best. I don't even want to say that. They're not going to put – he's not going to try to put him in the best situation from a quarterback standpoint. It's going to be you're probably going to have to get into a bidding war, some type of bidding war to get a kid like that. But, I mean, I don't really know at this point. Maybe you have an eval that you have in your back pocket of somebody that's way down the list that you feel like you can get. But I think you're so late in the game for quarterbacks. I mean, think about 2020 – in the 2026 class, a lot of the quarterbacks are already committed. So – you're so far into this that I don't know that there is a really good backup plan. I really don't. And I'll go to the next one, who's kind of answering you, Alex Drake Brooks, YouTube transfer guy, has basically what he's saying. What's the plan as a transfer guy? I think there always was going to be the opportunity for a transfer. I think I don't know that the whole quarterback situation, not adding a guy was going to be a reason to not go to the portal. I'm sorry. I don't think that not adding a guy is what's creating the need or the desire to maybe look at the portal now. I think that was always going to be something that you weighed out regardless because, hey, you either got to roll with Hank, Holden, Walker, or your true freshman. Or if you don't get a true freshman, you still got to roll with one of those three guys. So depending on the development you see over the season, do you feel confident 2025 when in theory you got almost a full team that's all Hugh Freeze guys gearing to hopefully make a run at the playoff? Do you feel confident with what you have, or do you have to go to the portal? I kind of felt like they were always going to have to go to the portal regardless. So again, I don't know that this weekend, I don't know if you lose Deuce, then you automatically have to go to the transfer portal. I think that was kind of always probably going to be on the table regardless. This is a good one. NH3425, my thoughts is Old Kiffin called him this weekend to get his mind to shift to Ole Miss for Deuce. I'm just going to go ahead and tell the story. I'm just going to go ahead and tell it. I don't even care anymore. At this point, I'm just going to go ahead and tell the story. Deuce was on his visit to Ole Miss. This is why I don't think he's going to end up at Ole Miss. Deuce was on his visit to Ole Miss, and there was a family member there with him. And Lane Kiffin is so unattached to the recruiting situation. He's so distant as it goes to high school recruiting and being involved in recruiting that he doesn't even know a lot of times who family members are from his staff. Okay. And there was a family member that mentioned to him, hey, why does it seem like you focus more on the portal than high school? Why is that the case? And I don't know if the story is that he thought they were a staffer, didn't realize exactly who it was, but says, hey, you do your effing job and I'll do mine. I think I'm doing a pretty good job. And it turns out it was one of Deuce's family members. And that's how his official visit went. And that's why you've heard no Ole Miss chatter whatsoever. And I would be absolutely shocked. I will be absolutely blown away if that kid ends up at Ole Miss. I said I wasn't going to tell the story, but it's at the point I just had to go ahead and tell it. That's what happened. He was out on a visit. He had a family member with him. The family member talked directly to Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin cursed in some form at the family member, and that has sort of changed the narrative. And that's when I keep talking about what happened at Ole Miss, that's what happened. So that's why I don't think there's ever going to be a shift to Ole Miss. Thomas Jones, I missed the questions. This was the question from the super chat. 5 turnovers and we lose by a TD. Does Peyton have a very, very short leash on Saturday? I think he's got to have a short leash regardless. At this point in time, you've had 15 games that you've seen him play. We took all the excuses away this offseason. I think a lot of people gave him the benefit of the doubt over the offseason, said, hey, wide receivers, we're going to get that fixed. Offense, we're going to get that fixed. Offensive line, we're going to get that fixed the best we can. Okay. But Saturday, you saw the exact same things you saw all year last year. When there is adversity, Peyton Thorne can't overcome it. After the first interception off of Cam Coleman's hands, granted, it was a very catchable pass. It would have been a first down, possibly more. It would have extended a drive. There's no things we can say that can argue that. Up until that point, he'd been playing pretty good, kind of putting the ball wherever he wanted to be, threw a dime to Cam earlier in the game. But once that happened, once that adversity happened, once that set in, it was over. It was completely over. There was no chance you were ever going to get anything going from that point forward. That is what happens. That is what we've seen happen every single time that's happened. I said one of the shows last week, if you protect Peyton, if things can go right, Peyton can do well. Okay, very similar to like a Jarrett Stidham, only not quite as talented, maybe a little bit more athletic, but not quite as talented. The same thing happened to Jarrett Stidham. When things would go south, he'd fold, he'd crumble. I think of the Tennessee game at home as a very good example where Jeremy Pruitt had a really good game plan on defense and just made Peyton look pedestrian. And Peyton's an NFL quarterback now. I kind of feel the same way about Peyton Thorne. I just don't think he's as talented from an arm, you know, obviously arm talent and whatnot, not as talented as a quarterback as Jarrett Stidham. And it's kind of the same thing. So I think I don't know what you do. I really don't. I mean, I don't think the answer I wish the answer was the backup, and maybe it will be, and I'll be wrong. And I have no problem. I love Hank, and I think Hank is the future. I really do. It's hard for me to buy into the fact that the coach watches practice and chooses to play the guy that's not the best player. That's tough for me. But maybe it's just a game type thing, a gamer thing. You put him in with the lights on, and he becomes a different person both ways, Peyton or Hank. And I don't know. We'll see. I think you got to be a short leash on an extremely short leash for the whole rest of the time at Auburn, not just Saturday. I mean, I think the leash should be already short after what we saw. It's hard to even imagine it's one of those leashes where it's literally you're walking the dogs directly up under you. Like there's no space whatsoever. But that's a really good question. Let's keep going. Let me try to break this one down. Chris Nicholas, they can fix the breakup problem. Once you commit, you're committed. No changing. Good thing for both sides. Okay. I think what you're trying to say, I'm not really sure the context of this one. They think they can fix the breakup problem. Once you commit, you're committed. No changing. Okay. I see what you're saying. If you don't want to break up, once you commit, stay committed. If you don't want to have to go through the breakup thing, don't decommit. Well, I agree with you, but in this point in time, we need one. We need it to happen. We need a quarterback. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm sort of jiving with you now. Galatian, Deuce isn't as physical as Cam. He's more like a left-handed version of Jaden Daniels. I love that comp. Also, for those old folks, Randall Cunningham, if you could make him left-handed, go look at his measurables. Throws through an incredible deep ball. Was never a very high completion percentage quarterback. Was very, very mobile. And at his time, that's sort of like the kind of guy I expect out of Deuce. Somewhere in the, you know, I guess, heck, somewhere around what Peyton is right now. Low 60s to mid 60s, you know, 65% or lower type quarterback, but electric, able to move around in the pocket, throw an unbelievable deep ball, and just sort of make things happen that way. That's kind of how I see That's kind of how I see Deuce. I think he's more of I like the Jaden Daniels. I think he has a better arm. I think he has more arm talent than Jaden Daniels. And he may be not quite as fast, but as far as shiftiness and the way he glides and runs, that's a very good, very good comp. Brandon Powell, I got a bad feeling about his commitment. Me too, man. At this point in time, it's hard not to. The longer this goes, the longer this stretches out, you feel like the longer time you have for Notre Dame to sort of sink in further and further and further and make it tougher and tougher and tougher for him to decommit. I totally understand that. I totally understand that thought. Let's see. Cortland. Aaron Murray did an awesome breakdown on Peyton Thorne. He did. It's not a recruiting question, but it's something that's very relevant. It kind of just came out. He kind of showed a little bit of everything, and he was a lot more, I guess, he didn't put it all on Peyton Thorne. And he had some very good arguments as to why, but he did put a lot of blame at his feet too. He did say a lot of it was his fault, and he kind of showed you why. So it's on YouTube. I'm not exactly sure. Exactly where it is, but just type in Aaron Murray, Peyton Thorne, and I'm sure it would pop up. Let's see. Let's keep going. Thoughts on Malik Autry staying with Auburn? I don't have any doubts he stays with Auburn. I don't think he does bat signals on official visits elsewhere. Think about that. He goes to Florida a ton. Okay. He does. He goes to Florida a ton. Florida would be the one that I'd have maybe have the most concern about because he goes there so often. But like he was putting out bat signals and tweets about recruiting and stuff while he's on visits elsewhere. I don't see Malik Autry going anywhere. I really don't. I don't have the concern as much. I don't have the concern about him as much as most. He says and does. He's telling us there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes where he's very locked in to Auburn. So I don't have a lot of worries there. NH 342 3425 and the Georgia Tech transfer. Any news? I think he's talking about Sam Turner, the four-star receiver committed to Georgia Tech. That Auburn's been, you know, trying very, very hard to get on campus. I was kind of shocked. This was his first game, first ever game at Auburn. Was blown away by the atmosphere. Had some pretty tough comments, though, not as far as his recruitment goes, but as far as the game itself, how he was shocked. It was not good. He kind of felt they should have pulled Thorne, and I get it. I think Auburn is still fine here. He could be a guy that could flip at any moment. It's hard to imagine if Auburn pushes for this kid, they won't get him. So again, is Auburn going to go ahead and push and get this kid? I don't 100% know, but I don't think this, there's no big time update. He's always been a, it could happen at any moment type thing. And I think he's given a lot of people indications it's going to be Auburn. Don't know the time frame, but I'll keep you posted on that one. It's a boy 34. Do you think the Notre Dame loss was worse? You tell me. What do you think? Northern Illinois at home. You only scored 13 points. I know we only scored 14, or maybe they scored 14 points. And you had a field goal, I guess, at the end to win it. You miss it. That's tough. After you just beat an SEC team, you got a lot of expectations. I think Notre Dame's a little bit of further ahead of a program right now from a stability standpoint, from a roster standpoint than Auburn is. I would say that's they're both bad, but I'd say that's a much worse loss, in my opinion, than Auburn's. Blake Patterson, so is there a timeline when Deuce might commit? At this point in time, no, there's not. There was two dates that we felt very confident in. And both of those, right when it got up to time for it to happen, Deuce got cold feet and couldn't make it happen. Couldn't pull the trigger. Jonathan Hubbard, where do we turn if we don't get Deuce? Same thing. I don't know that there is anywhere to turn. At this point in time, I don't really know if there is anywhere to turn as far as quarterback goes. Let's see here. Keep on going. This is not a recruiting question, but do we ever hear about Cam Coleman's injury? I haven't heard an update. I don't think it was serious. I think it was something with his shoulder. He did seem to be asking to come out or giving the indication that he needed to come out. But I don't think there's been an update. But, you know, they have that SEC deal now where you have to disclose injuries, so we would probably know. I don't know if it happened, if you have to do it in a non-conference game. I know you got to do it in an SEC game, but I'm sure tomorrow at Hughes press conference he'll address it. But I wouldn't expect it to be anything serious. Let's keep going. I really need somebody to be doing this for me. So it doesn't, you don't have a lot of dead time. Let's see. Let's keep going. NH 3425, you've been firing it in a lot tonight, and I really appreciate it. Move on from Saturday and get ready for New Mexico. I agree. They got a pretty good little quarterback. They kind of took Arizona to the wire, and then Arizona pulled away late. So that's something you can't overlook. I mean, you can't overlook anybody. I don't necessarily think Auburn overlooked Cal, but you definitely can't overlook anybody at this point in time. You got to win. You got to be able to. You got to be able to win these next few games if you even want to get bowl eligible. But definitely, if you want to have a better season than you did last year, you definitely got to start. You got to start winning. I'm kind of getting to the part where it seems where y'all have heard the, that's right. When I told the Lane Kiffin story, let's see here. Philip Willingham, Deuce never set a date. You guys were the ones saying it. It was going to happen soon. You're just wrong, Philip. I'm sorry. I love you and I appreciate you. Thanks for the comment. You're wrong. There was a commitment video interview scheduled to happen Friday morning. Okay. And he pushed it off. He's told us two times now that he's going to commit, and he hasn't done it. So has he put it out on Twitter? No, he hasn't. But has he told Auburn yet, I'm going to commit, I'm going to commit on this date or I'm going to commit on this date? He's done it twice now. I'm sorry, he has. He has. He may not have done it publicly, but he has absolutely given Auburn indication he's going to pull the trigger two times. And again, I get it. It's tough. It's a big deal. Getting cold feet, whatever. I get it. It's Notre Dame, man. They're you know, a blue blood when it comes to college football. So, and there's a connection there with the head coach, and that he was his guy from the beginning. And it's tough. It's tough, but I just don't agree, Philip. I actually don't. Not only do I not agree, I know it's incorrect. So I'm going to keep going from there. Sheldon Eagle, I miss Nick Marshall. I do too, buddy. Nick Marshall was a dude. He was a dude. He does not get the credit that he deserves as an Auburn quarterback. Hayes Carter, how does this change Offord's recruitment? Again, this is sort of the theme that goes with the others. I don't really see. What happened Saturday. Hey, you watch the DBs. What do you think? The DBs kind of got abused a little bit, especially corners early in the game. They made some adjustments. There's some playing time to be had, especially there's some playing time to be had and there's some money to be made at Auburn. I don't think Saturday in a vacuum, I don't think it has anything to do with Offord's recruitment. I still think Auburn is in a very, very good spot, a very, very good spot there. This is a good one. James Rutan, assuming Garner transfers, we will then only have two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster, three, including a potential quarterback. Absolutely have to take some kind of 2025 quarterback like this year's version of Hank. I get it, and you're right. I think, and I mentioned there could be somebody out there. I don't know the name. There could be somebody out there like a Hank that could be a late eval, somebody that's, put up some good numbers, but just doesn't have a lot of the publicity or whatnot, very similar to Hank. Maybe there's a guy out there you feel like you can flip from a lower P5 school or something like that. And, just get in here. I'll tell you what, at this point though, I'm not sure Garner's going to leave Auburn. I feel like he may be just an Auburn guy. I think he just likes Auburn. I really do. I think he just likes Auburn, may want to go into coaching or something like that. He's sort of bought in. Like, he could have left and he had the reason to leave like multiple times and he hasn't. And he's never really even seemed like remotely challenged for the starting job. I mean, he's third string. Hank jumped him this year. In spring, really. I mean, if he was going to go and really get a chance to play somewhere, I mean, he's only got maybe two seasons of eligibility left, and that's – I'm just assuming that there's a COVID year or something like that in there as well. Maybe there's two – maybe he's a red shirt. Maybe he's got two more years. I'm not 1,000% sure. But, man, you're running out of time. I wouldn't be totally shocked if Holden actually stayed at Auburn. But if he does leave, you're in a hurt. You're in a world of hurt. You got Hank and you got Walker, and that's it. You may bring in a transfer. You're going to have to bring in a transfer at that point in time. You got to sign somebody in high school. So you just got to really hit those evals, or maybe you bring in two from the portal. Maybe one that you don't necessarily – one that's maybe okay with being like a future GA or something like that. Maybe if you find you like a Cord Sandberg-type player out there and then somebody that can challenge for the starting job. You don't get Deuce, and then – if you don't get Deuce, you're sort of in a bind. You're in a big bind as far as quarterback goes. Let's keep going. JJ Stevens with a super chat. Thanks, JJ. We have a lot more issues from what I saw yesterday than just Thorne. Had a lot of issues adapting to the different looks we saw on defense. Recruits looked puzzled. I think what you mean by that, recruits looked puzzled at the results, possibly. And I agree, there was a lot of issues adapting to the different looks that we saw on defense. We were rotating offensive linemen still, which is, you know, you're still trying to make the – and I know that Tyler Johnson did not have a great game. I know that Izavian Miller was dinged up. I think he rolled his ankle earlier in the week. I know that that's the case. But, yeah, the offensive line, especially later in the game, really seemed to have trouble picking things up. And that made stuff for Thorne even that much harder because Thorne struggles, at any sign of adversity. So, I agree. There was a lot more issues, but Thorne is definitely a big issue. I mean, it's just hard. He maybe not have been the only issue, but he's the common denominator now in 15 games. So it's hard at this point in time that when the chips are down, when stuff is tough, it's hard to say now that Thorne is not an issue. It's something that has to be addressed. So let's keep going. We'll take a couple more. I mentioned this earlier, Five Adam. Billy or Napier lost all his top recruits after losing games. You said it there at the end. Games, plural. Okay. So, yeah, Auburn could possibly be in that same scenario, but not after this one win. I think there's going to be that Auburn would have to have multiple, big time letdowns, and show no improvement whatsoever before that becomes an issue. But hey, not a great one to start with, especially when this was a very winnable game and you had no reason whatsoever to lose by one touchdown. You had no reason to lose that game. You had no reason to win that game by less than two touchdowns, and you lost by a touchdown. It's just tough. Okay, here we go. This is a good one. Lee Carter, news on Babalola. Gotta be close. The vibe I get from this one and from what I'm hearing talking to people is I think if he could commit right now, if all things were equal between Auburn and Michigan, Michigan was not under any scrutiny with the NCAA. Michigan has looked horrible in their first two outings. They took Fresno to the wire, and then they got absolutely railroaded by Texas at home. Between their performance and the possibility of the issues with the NCAA, I think if those were not there, he would be committed to Michigan. But something is making him nervous about pulling the trigger with Michigan, and Auburn's on him 24/7. So I still think Auburn has the slight lead here, just because of everything that's up in the air. I mean, who knows if the coach is even going to be there? Like, who knows if Moore is still going to be there next year? If these penalties come down and he's either has a show cause or something like that, who knows? I mean, there's so much uncertainty right now in Michigan, and I think that's what's causing the hangup as far as him continuing to postpone his commitment. So I think that's good. Auburn's in a good spot. Man, you just got to keep pounding on that kid. And then hopefully, I mean, again, look at what you saw Saturday, bub. You got every chance to walk in and play. You got every chance to walk in and play right away and be closer to, I believe you got a brother or a cousin that lives in Tuskegee. There's a connection with Edwin Favor or Favor Edwin. You got some connections on the team. There's some chemistry there. You have Nate Marshall as well. A lot of stuff going in Auburn's way here, but again, he's not quite ready to pull the trigger. Just got to keep battling. I'm going to take one more and then I'm going to call it. Let's see here. Where's a good one? Good one to end on. This is not a recruiting question, but this is a good one to end on. Is Freeze coaching scared, in your opinion? let me give you what my opinion of coaching scared means. Okay, coaching scared means you're doing things not to lose the game. You're doing things just not to lose the game. You're not doing things to win the game. You're scared. And what I see a lot of, you know, we saw a ton of vertical shots. We saw a lot of stuff to try to push the ball down the field. I don't know that Freeze is coaching scared. I don't know that he's trying to protect anything. I think maybe he got lulled into a false sense of security. I felt like Auburn should have had Cal's game plan. That should have been our game plan on offense. Dink and dunk, hit the tight end, and then boom, take a shot and get a one-on-one on the outside. Run the ball a little bit, dink and dunk, hit it over the middle, boom, take a shot. I kind of felt like high percentage stuff, that was the way – that to me would be coaching scared or coaching to protect your quarterback. That would have been the game plan I would have gone with, but that is not what it ended up being. It was kind of, you know, we thought we were somebody that we weren't. We were going to take a bunch of vertical shots, and we couldn't protect long enough to be able to get those vertical shots off. And when we did get them off, they were off the mark, or it was, you know, intercepted, or we just couldn't make the play, or we throw a slant, you know, an easy completion and go off our face mask and turn into an interception. It was just bad all around. I don't think that's coaching scared per se. But he may have to now. I mean, you may have to go back to small ball. You may have to go back to a mode where it's like, man, we just got to figure out how to win games. Even if we have to go in a shell on offense, it looked gross. It looked unattractive, but we know we can grind out wins. That may be what you have to go to. And then you got to sell the guys that you have that may not put up the stats that you think they should put up. They think they should put up. Then you got to convince them that, hey, we're going to change it next year. We're going to get better. So you may have to start coaching scared. I don't think it was necessarily that way for this game, but guys, I really appreciate y'all jumping in the chat. I apologize again about them being muted to begin with. I had so much good. Y'all missed it. It was great. It was a great intro. It was a great intro. Electric ad read. Thought it was humorous to myself. And then you just did not get to hear it. So sorry about that. I thought the mic would just came on automatically whenever I turned it on. So apologize about that. Thank y'all for the two. Thank y'all for the super chats. Thank y'all for jumping in. And we're going to continue to do this every Saturday after a game and every Sunday night. Get in, ask, talk about recruiting and have some fun. So y'all have a great week, and I'll be back again tomorrow. We'll have a show tomorrow morning for you. Talk a little bit about that. Continue to break down this quarterback situation. But y'all have a great rest of the evening. Have a great week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.